I'm Patrick.
Hi, I'm Will.
And I'm Chris. And we are Guys with Issues. And today we're going to be talking about Green Lantern's secret origin. Not so secret, but a secret. And secret. Before that, secret, you've got a secret. We're going to do the norm. For those of you who are first joining us, which are none.
I don't know, maybe somebody.
Maybe somebody just joined.
Maybe.
We're going to be fools before we talk about comics.
What? Anyway. We do that?
Talk about comics or act a fool?
Act a fool.
I mean, guess we do foolishly talk about comics.
I thought we acted like we normally do. So what are you trying to say?
So, Patrick.
Yeah, what's up?
As we were discussing before we started recording,
yeah,
I like to punch your wallet.
Okay. It's metal, so it might hurt.
Yeah, I punch it with spending. Did you look into the Stormlight Archive tabletop?
Yes, I got RPG? That. No, I only got the two.
I didn't look at the campaign at all.
So they have one called like the Reader, which is the Cosmere and the Mistborn. So there's two different sets.
Is it the Mistborn one you already have?
Maybe, but it looks cool. And it might be updated because I think they work together. But they didn't have one that was just a singular physical book. So you're
saying you got both or you only got
that? No, I got both.
Okay.
But so I got that, and that was like one of the lower tiers. And then they had like a player tier, and then they had a DM tier.
Was it like you didn't get the DM screen and the dice and all of that stuff?
I just got the books.
Yeah, so they have a Cosmere tabletop RPG now that Brandon Sanderson has done.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you can be a shard. I'm guessing you can wield a shard blade and stuff, right?
Most likely.
Most likely. Yeah.
So that you can still back it now. I mean,
it's open right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it just started like a week ago.
Yeah, like a week ago. So when you hear it, it'll be two weeks ago, and then you'll have about 2 weeks to back it.
Yeah, but if you enjoy The Way of Kings or Mistborn, you may want to check out that Kickstarter campaign.
Yes.
Might be worth it.
Right.
If you also think you want to play a tabletop RPG or just read extra lore. I think I saw him talk about it in one of his podcast videos, and there's just like tons of world lore in it.
Yeah, that's all canon.
Yeah, and it's just a way for you to like absorb and get more of that world that you enjoy of Brandon Sanderson.
Right.
Yeah.
It's cool. Which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is very cool.
And it goes with what you asked us a couple of weeks ago, which is what book series would we want to be a video game? Well, a tabletop role-playing game isn't that far off of a video game. So, yeah, it kind of circles back because we talked about Mistborn and stuff.
Yeah, we did.
So, yeah, cool. I'm excited for you. I just backed that GameFound DC Heroes United campaign, so I had to make you back something, too. We need to find
something. No.
We need to find something for Will. I
need to throw my wallet out the window real quick.
Oh, don't let him punch it. So, Patrick, you been up to anything interesting besides buying tabletop role-playing games?
I went on a vacation.
But you talked about that last time.
Did I?
You were on vacation last time.
You talked about being on vacation last time.
Well, I didn't do anything else that week.
Have you done anything amazing this week now that your life is back to normal?
I went to work. That was a job, I'm telling you. Whew.
I'm sorry for your loss.
I know. No, not really. I don't think I really did anything.
Well, we have to point out that Patrick did do as he said, and he has his International Space Station Lego set repaired and on the stand now.
Yes,
I can see it now.
And it looks super cool.
I actually had time to do things.
Yes, it looks awesome.
It's great. I love that. I got that as a Christmas present.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That is a great Christmas
It was amazing. I saw that and I'm like, that's so awesome. So, you know, if anybody listening wants to give me more Legos for Christmas, I'm in.
Are you, so when they decommission it, are you going to like drop it off the roof of your house?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Mm.
So I know you can't really see it, but if you get up, it actually has a scale model of the space shuttle and people and satellites and stuff on the base.
I can see some of it from here. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love when Lego does those like scale models and they do them the like mini versions of the things that go along with it.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool.
Yep.
Pretty darn sweet.
Agreed.
I did buy a new mower, riding mower.
You did buy a new one?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So did you find someone to buy your old one yet?
I have not found somebody to buy my old one yet.
I've heard you trying to hawk it
to
different people.
I was trying to hawk it today. Yeah. I just want to get rid of it. It's got a tire that likes to go flat. Mm. I just have to fill it up with air like every other time I mow.
Mm.
And then I don't know if there's something loose or something with the steering mechanisms. But why can't I think of the name of it? It's the gear that goes on the drive shaft just gets eaten up fast. And I don't know if I'm just abusing it or if there's something else going on, but I've had to replace that like twice since I've gotten it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's why I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get rid of this thing.
Huh.
I'm going to buy a new one. Like it mows just fine. It starts real fast. Like everything about the mower is really good, except that's extremely annoying. So I'm getting rid of it, buying a new one.
Weird.
Yeah, but it's a great mower. I mean, I've had no issues with it other than the stupid steering.
Hmm.
If you're interested.
Well, I was going to say, email us at longbox@guyswiththeshoes.com.
Do that too.
If you'd like to throw an offer on a mostly okay lawnmower.
Yeah, it's mostly okay. And the cost of those riding mowers now, it's a pretty good deal. I'm asking for it, so.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will hit you up.
Maybe. Probably not.
Yeah, Will,
maybe.
Do you need one?
No.
Do you need two?
What would I do with two?
Use the other one if one breaks.
Two more power.
I'll do what they did in Deadpool, and I'll just like leash them all together.
Yeah, leash them together.
And I'll be like, ha!
Wow. Could be. That'd be cool.
Spoiler alert.
Well, they don't know what I'm talking about in Deadpool. I didn't give context or anything, but you guys know exactly what I'm talking about.
We do.
Because you watched it.
That's true.
And I watched it a second time last weekend.
That's right.
Yeah.
You did. So you did go see it with your family.
Yeah, I went with my mom and my sisters. We went to Portillo's on Sunday, and I got the Italian beef and sausage.
I was going to ask if you got the one with the sausage. Oh my gosh.
It's so good.
Yep. But I every time I go there, I like it. Don't get me wrong. It's really good. But I just have to get their Chicago style hot dog.
See, the thing is they have the second best Chicago style dog that I've had.
It's really good.
It is good.
Yeah.
I got it once with you.
I think so.
Maybe that one time. I don't know. Maybe we got the Italian beef and sausage.
I get the Chicago dog occasionally. Once in a while, I'll get a chili dog there. Their chili dogs are decent, too.
Yep. I usually get that meal deal, two dogs and root beer.
Yeah.
It is delicious.
They have Pat's in Syracuse has the best Chicago dogs that I've had around.
When are we going?
I mean, we'll figure it out.
Cool.
That's fine. It's just down the street from Kiyomi.
I was going to say, it's like 20, awesome. It's like 20 minutes from your house.
So what you're telling me is we go there and then I stop by and I get a to-go order of ramen from Kiyomi's and I'm good.
Yep.
Perfect.
There you go. That's actually, yes, you could easily do that.
And then there's an ice cream shop just in the other direction. You can pick up dessert before going home too.
Their ice cream's not bad. Joe's?
Yeah.
It's decent. Not as good as the Chief, but it's good. They did have a honey lavender. That was interesting.
Oh, at the Chief?
No,
or,
at
Joe's. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
It was a very unique flavor for ice cream, but I enjoyed it. I like lavender, though.
Cool.
Yeah, flavors like lavender or like rose water, you got to be kind of careful how much you put in, because you can easily like overpower anything else and it just gets like kind of gross.
Yeah, my wife picked up lavender maple syrup, like lavender infused, and it was killer good. She took it and made a blueberry lavender using fresh picked blueberries we did. She made a syrup using that as a base. And that was really good.
Hey, Will, did you get your books? Did you not back it? The
no, I didn't back
Cradle
it.
Cradle stuff? Oh, man. It surprises me as much as you like him.
I know.
You've read them more than either of us have.
I did. Mm-hmm. Yes, but that was on Sunday. Saturday, the day
I was going to ask you how your lunch was, your birthday lunch. Oh, and your breakfast. Yeah, you had a full day.
I had quite a lot going on. So Saturday morning, I met my dad for breakfast at this little diner in La Paz, and that was good. Just got some biscuits and gravy with some eggs on top.
Is that the one that the three of us went to the one time?
Yeah, right before we recorded our
Fabled
issue.
Is that when we went?
I think we went there. And then
that's when we went to the La Paz diner, was for the Fabled issue?
That would make sense.
Because we were at your house.
And you were passing by it.
Yeah. We met there and then followed Pat back to his parents' house. And
it's a year and a half ago. That was January of 2023.
Wow.
I think they had just recently opened.
Ages ago.
Yeah.
So how was it? You said you got biscuits and gravy with eggs on it?
Yeah, it's still really good.
Mm. Nice. What'd your pops get?
The same, actually.
That does not surprise me. He loves biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, yeah. And then we were talking, and he wants to go to that one there in Warsaw, Creighton's Crazy Eggs.
I love that Creighton's.
I've been there once. It is really good.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. We've gone a couple of times.
Yeah, he wants to go, and he's like, hey, maybe you can hit up Chris, and Chris will meet us there, and the three of us can get breakfast together. And I'm like, yeah, sure, Dad.
Yeah, it doesn't, and they open late.
I see how it
is. Like 7 or 7:30.
Yeah. Maybe even late. Do they open at 8?
No, I think it's a little before, but yeah, Creighton's is great.
Yeah. So I did that Saturday morning, and then later on about 3 o'clock, met my mom, my sisters, my niece and nephew. They picked them up, and we went to Salvatore's, and that was really good.
Did you get the lasagna?
My mom got the lasagna, and I tried it. It was really good.
Their lasagna is really good.
Hell yeah. I got the... what was it called? The Alfredo Especial.
What's that?
It was like Alfredo, but it had like peppers and I think some sausage in it and some bacon. And
sounds good.
It was just like it was supposed to be spicy, but you know, they never are.
He air quoted that.
But I didn't realize they had like a limited time special menu, which was just like a little card on the table. But they had like this Cajun pasta stuff and chicken marsala. And I'm like, I probably would have gone with one of those if I had, you know.
That's because, are you like that too? Are you the same? Will and I are suckers for any limited time. We're FOMO foodies. If there's something that's limited, like the Traveler at Oganali, we will be much more inclined to get it than you would if it was just on the menu normally. Do you do that too?
To an extent.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad.
Or do you have like more like you know what your regular choice is for that food type?
No. I will try anything.
Okay.
So it's not that.
But would you try it twice?
Depends on how much I like it.
Wow.
Yeah, we did that. And then. Did we do anything afterwards? I don't think I did.
I think you just crashed. You said you were worn out.
Yeah. I went back home and passed out from eating tons of food.
You started your day with biscuits and gravy, and then you had pasta for lunch. And then you slept for the rest of the day.
For several hours at least, yeah.
And then you played Zenless Zone Zero. I don't know.
You zoned out. A little bit.
Playing Zenless Zone Zero.
Zoned out.
Right.
The game is about catching Z's. It's 3 Z's. That's all it is. And it makes you sleep all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It literally makes you sleep in the game.
I haven't played it enough, and I don't know that I will.
I don't think it's really your type of game.
Right.
So.
Go
ahead, but I have a question for you.
I got a little bit of a surprise on, what day was that? Friday evening?
Prostate exam.
Yeah.
That would be a surprise.
Snuck in, just didn't see it coming. Got a good score, though, so we're okay. No.
Got an A+.
There was a guy I was friends with back in high school that reached out to me on Friday. He apparently ran into my mom and sister earlier in the week at like Walmart or some store.
Were they okay?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He's not very big.
I was going to make that joke. So thank you.
And was talking to him. And this kid, kind of keep this story short, his dad wasn't, you know, too nice to him. And one summer he, you know, spent a couple nights at our house and then went home. And then later that day he calls me and he's like, hey, I kind of need a place to stay now. I just got, you know, into an altercation with my dad and I can't really go back there. It's not really safe. So for like 3 months, he just lived at our house.
For real?
Yeah. My parents just kind of took him in and we kind of, you know, became pretty good friends. He's nerdy like me. So, you know, we kind of bonded.
That sounds like a podcast. Nerdy like me.
Yeah. For all the nerds.
That's really what this is.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up, see if that's a podcast. See, I might just subscribe to it.
I guarantee you it's something. Podcast or not, it's something.
Yeah.
But, so go ahead.
After I graduated high school, you know, kind of moved on. We got out of touch. So he messaged me and I didn't know who it was. And if you message me and I don't know what your phone number is, I will message you back, but it's going to be the most random crap. I would just like make up some story. And so that's what I did. And then I'd have to pull up the messages, but then I guessed who he was. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no way you're, you know, this guy. And he's like, yep, that's me. And we kind of talked for a while. And apparently he's been getting into comic books recently.
Really?
And this is like, I hadn't even brought up the podcast or anything. I was just like, hey, what have you been doing? What have you been getting into? He's like, I don't really play Pokemon anymore or Yu-Gi-Oh. I got into Magic the Gathering.
Hmm.
I'm like, you mean like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh for adults? And yeah, so then after he's like, yeah, I've been really getting into comics. I'm like, hey, I started a comic book podcast. That's really kind of weird. He's like, yeah, I have a suggestion for you guys. I'm like, hit me. He's like, you guys have to read Batman 89.
Oh, which, yeah, the Michael Keaton. It's a new series, but it continues the Michael Keaton. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I've read it. I love it.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
I looked it up and like, what the thing I found only had like 6 or 7 issues in it.
Yeah, it's done as kind of stand. So the way they've done it so far is it's not really an ongoing as much as they do kind of like mini series. Like it'll be 6, and I think they just recently came out with some more.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Twist my arm. Tell me to read Batman.
Wait. So did this guy just randomly run across the podcast, or
no? I told him about it, and then I sent him like a link to it.
Oh.
And how weird like, would that have been?
I know, right?
That would have been wild.
I contacted you because I heard you on this podcast. Wow, that would, with how small our listener base is,
right?
that would have been mind-blowing.
Crazy.
But yeah, then I talked to him. He goes to the warehouse comic book shop there in Mishawaka.
Up in Mishawaka.
Yeah.
Sweet. They're overpriced for a lot of stuff.
Are they overpriced? I told him, like, hey, if you ever find yourself in Warsaw, go to Chimps. They're very competitive. And
especially with his magic stuff, dude. They have so much magic at Chimps. They're magic.
It's just magical.
Chimps Comics. Winona.
You think Disneyland's got some magic to it.
Chimps Comics.
Chimps Comics. The real magic.
Throwing shade at Disney.
But yeah.
That's easy.
We're trying to work out when we're going to like get back together, kind of meet up and
awesome.
Kind of
where's it? Well, without like, you haven't said his name, but does he live near Warehouse? Is that why that's where he goes?
Oh, no, he lives in the same town as my parents.
Oh, okay.
So he lives like over in that direction.
So still closer. Well, they're probably almost equidistant from Warsaw, wouldn't they be? Just
yeah,
about?
It'd be just about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the word equidistant. It's a great word.
It is.
But yeah, that's something that happened.
That's cool. On your birthday weekend.
Yep, yep.
Wow.
That's so you ate delicious food, reconnected with a long lost friend, and saw Deadpool for the second time.
I did, and I still laughed.
Wow, sounds like a pretty good weekend.
It does.
And I can report that my mom did like the Deadpool movie.
That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Yeah. I was going to ask what the opinion, because your sisters went too?
Yeah, yeah.
What did everybody think?
They all thought it was hilarious, and then my oldest sister, Brianna, says, you know, if you think about it, Deadpool probably is actually Marvel Jesus, because all their stuff has been tanking, and all of a sudden they have this, and it's a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the real joke that he ultimately. Did you subject yourself to a movie last night?
I didn't. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Okay.
Not because I don't want to. I just like I don't want to support it financially.
Talking about subjecting yourselves to movies. I'm sorry. You guys keep going. I do have something, though.
Okay.
I don't know what movie we're talking about.
But we were talking...
Borderlands.
Yeah. Oh, that one.
Have you seen how bad the reviews are?
I've heard that it has a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
For the longest time.
I mean,
for
it was 3 yesterday. It was a 3%.
Oh, so it went up. Okay.
Yeah. So for... I think it was like the first 18 or 20 hours after its first premiere release,
right,
whatever. It had like a 0%.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes. And then when I found it, looked it up, and sent it to him, it went up to 3.
So,
and I checked it again recently. I think it's up to 6.
So I like to check IMDb, though, because those are all like viewer reviews more so than just like the score you see on Rotten Tomatoes is critics. And they didn't have an audience score. That is the critic score.
Right.
And we've discussed how critics can look at movies very differently than everybody else.
Correct.
But it only has like a 4.5 on IMDb. So
out of
10.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
That's true. Cause if it was out of 5, then it would, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
But the general consensus is that it just sounds like it's so generic and kind of boring and lifeless is why most people are dogging it so bad. And when you think of Borderlands, you don't really think that those are things you'd use to describe
Not
it.
Not at all.
So I think
Which
that,
is sad, because they had some real talent in that movie.
Well, it's the director. I'm going to give it to the director. Eli Roth is not... That is not somebody who's going to make a good movie like that. Mm. Also, a lot of people are saying it feels like it was edited from a rated R movie to PG-13. Like, there are scenes where there's like something happening with a character, and then the next scene, it's just like... Like, they're in the midst of a bunch of bad guys, and then the next scene, it's just like they're just not. And so some people think that it was originally cut as rated R, and they had to cut a bunch of stuff out to make it PG-13, and that it makes it less consistent in certain scenes. But anyway.
Do you think it's possible that it could do a...
Director's cut or something?
Director's cut and do like... Or like a Schneider cut for the Justice League?
I mean, I think it could potentially if they did edit it like that, but I don't think it's going to save it from all the criticisms that I've heard. Like, it's, yeah.
No.
It sounds like it's a movie for no one. They tried to make a movie for everyone and ultimately made a movie for no one, which is...
Boo!
That's what happens.
Yep.
So, speaking of movies, subjecting yourself.
Right. So, for the longest time, I had been meaning to watch The Green Mile because I had never seen it.
Yeah, because you read the book for book club.
So I read the book for book club, and I had to watch the movie for book club. It was a pretty good movie.
Is it pretty similar to the book?
It is surprisingly similar to the book.
Okay, because sometimes they're Stephen King movies and books can be very different.
Yeah,
we learned previously on the podcast, Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump was
nothing like the book.
I mean, they had the same underlying concept.
Kind of had the spirit of the book, right?
Yes. Right. But no, yeah, I enjoyed Stephen King. There were some differences. Like the book, there was a lot more about him in the old folks' home, and he had some issues with one of the attendants or whatever they're called in the old folks home.
Yeah.
But and there were some other slight inconsistencies, but for the most part, it followed the story very well.
Well, one thing that you can trust is that a Stephen King movie is going to be more concise and capture things better usually than the book. So, because yes. in something that should take like
Stephen King
30 words to say, that he'll say it in 300.
I mean, he has written whole books while under the influence of cocaine. So
yeah, but we can go into his writing. I don't want to talk about why he writes the way he does. There's a reason. I watched interviews with him talking about his process.
How he doesn't know the ending?
How he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything at 2 to 3 pages from where he's at.
Yep.
Literally no plan. He just writes, and then he has an editor that he's had for like 30 years that makes his books readable.
So,
like, legitimately.
Oh, yeah.
He literally says that he could not be anywhere or have done anything without his editor, basically.
Not trying to change the subject or anything, but I have a smartwatch, and I crossed my arms, and then it vibrated, and I was like, what the heck? So I looked at it, and my watch face had completely changed.
Did you get hacked?
No.
Did it change because it crossed its arms?
But I kind of like this watch face, so I'm going to leave it.
You're like, touche watch.
But I don't know how it changed touché. Just by touching my arm, but whatever.
It's always touching your arm.
My other arm.
My other arm. So, I don't have anything.
All right. Well, that was fast.
Yep. I don't think I'm no. Other than I did watch The Acolyte, it was atrocious. It had good action scenes. It had decent cinematography. Some of the worst writing I've literally ever seen. That's all I have to say about that.
Or heard.
Although, when you're listening to this, you should know that if you want to hear about The Acolyte, you can tune into the Call Guys podcast this week. It would have released Monday, where we completely tear it apart.
Good. Did anybody defend it?
Nope, not really.
Oh, good.
It actually has by far the best fight choreography and lightsaber choreography of anything Disney's made. So yeah. It was very well done. It was like Crouching Jedi, Hidden Sith Lord.
Oh, it's kind
of how they choreograph it. There's a lot of very Matrix feeling beat by beat kung fu.
Sweet. So I really like how that segment started with. I have nothing. So let me tell you about the thing that I did.
Yeah. Pretty much. I wasn't going to talk about it, but then I was like, nah, I have to.
And then we got to plug the call, guys. Yeah. So
that's really why I did it.
All right.
But anyway.
So Will, there we go.
Do you have wacky facts? Historical facts?
I've got one for this week because I had quite a bit of actual life stuff to talk about. But I'm glad Pat got his space station
fixed. Too.
Because this is kind of a space fact from NASA.
Space fact.
It's an article I found from Popular Mechanics.
They have a lot of good space articles.
It says, NASA made a world-shaking discovery, compelling evidence of past life on Mars.
Ooh.
And it's an article about an ancient past. Mars likely contained many of the necessary ingredients for microbial life to flourish on its surface.
That's true.
A new discovery by NASA's Perseverance rover shows a trifecta of compelling evidence, including the presence of water, organic compounds, and a chemical energy source, all on a single rock located in the Jezero crater.
Cool.
Where this rover is located. But yeah, if you want to check it out, that was the title. They landed 2 rovers on Mars recently, Curiosity and Perseverance, totaling more than $5 billion.
That wasn't recently.
Recent-ish history, I don't know. It doesn't actually say when they went.
Patrick's thinking.
That was probably close to 15 years ago.
Interesting. But yeah.
I thought they had one rover that just recently gave out.
Right. I believe. No. So one of them gave out like 7 years ago, and the other one just finally gave out.
Just recently, right? Yeah. That's what I knew. I knew that the last one they had active there was like it's officially inactive.
Right. Now. Unless they decided to rename two of the same names and send them recently, yeah, but I don't think, I didn't heard.
I know there weren't really any dates in the article, but apparently it spent most of its life just in this crater. And it found one rock in there that had everything theoretically needed to like prove that microbial life existed on Mars at some point. And unlike, like, Perseverance didn't have a lab built into it, so they couldn't do any, like, testing and send any data back. So there is kind of plans to go and retrieve it.
Mm.
These are the rovers that would sing themselves happy birthday each year on their birthday.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
It is.
I love space facts.
I do too. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
And that was a planet space fact. That was a planet fact.
Planet facts.
Planet facts.
Is our neighboring planet.
Might be tiny aliens over there.
So, you know what time it is.
It's time for some snacks.
We guys with snacks.
Guys with snacks.
I think that's what it has renamed, to be called now, because they constantly, although there's a Freudian slip of the tongue, and where they said, what did they say? They called it, Colton called it snacks with issues.
I kind of like that said, too.
And I was like, well, I guess we are pretty tempting gentlemen. We are some snacks with issues, aren't we? I said, but we don't have visual recording, so we can't verify
that. Right. At some point, we need to put our pictures on the website.
That's true. So, I'm providing our snack today because I remembered. And in this black bag is something that's going to possibly put you in a body bag.
Oh, no.
Try me.
It's officially something weird. We've been eating too many, like, really kind of normal good snacks. We have.
I mean, the ones that...
Lorena,
yeah. Sorry about that. Have been pretty authentic.
Oh, yeah.
In their origin of Mexico.
True. Well...
Preserved duck eggs, huh?
I brought you century-old duck eggs. They, like, wrap them.
What happens if the...
And they bury them in ash, and there's a chemical reaction that happens in them. They are weird as all get out.
What happens if the company goes under?
Well, I'm sure they still sell them there. It's an export. I don't want to tell you at all what this is going to be like.
This is going to be the first thing that Will doesn't try twice?
It might be. These are not really supposed to be eaten plain. Like, some people use them with things. You can put some... I brought some stuff to drip on it if we need to. Would you like to crack it open?
Sure.
I kind of want to watch Will's reaction. You're going to have to peel it. It looks like a... For those of you who don't know, it looks like a dinosaur egg.
Right.
It's like green and speckled.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to sniff it. Kind of smells like that yerba mate we got from your dad.
Oh, no.
I mean, not
That's
really.
That's not what you want eggs to smell like.
It's not what I want eggs to taste like either.
I
that would be very interesting.
Oh, that's for Chris.
There you go.
Oh. That's funny.
I forgot about that, so I'm glad that
it's
happened.
A magnet that says, ope, because right. We had that whole conversation.
I was like, I forgot to get that for Chris.
We'll have to take a picture of the... Well, oh, we're going to have to take a picture of the egg as it is and as it is cracked.
Right. And now you know what Will's hands look like.
Oh, he's the hand model. Mm. Get your feet out of the picture, Will. We're not charging for these.
But what if?
That's a Patreon.
A Patreon.
A tier, right? I mean,
oh, careful.
You could have used the table.
Wow. Is that how?
I didn't want to make like more work for Chris in the audio.
Bro.
It's very sticky.
Yeah, because you broke it open. It's normally just a black egg, but I think you've tore through it.
This is going to take eons.
Do you want me to peel it?
Sure, it's not going to take a century.
We're going to have another one by then.
I'm going to have a second century-old duck egg. Does it have to specifically be a duck egg?
Yes, they are duck eggs that they do it with. I don't know. I mean, I presume you could use other eggs. Like, eggs are pretty much the same. They're not the same tasting.
Wow, that's pretty black.
Yeah. This is a true experience of trying weird things, guys. You're welcome. It even has funky texture on the outside. You see that?
Yeah.
Like crystallization almost. Okay. Do you want to see it, Patrick?
No, I can see it.
It's like this gelatin on the outside of it.
This is Patrick's most concerned food face.
I am concerned.
So how do we want to do this? We want to get like a plate.
Technically, we should get a plate and cut it.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Cool. What's it smell like, Will? Give it a sniff.
Ooh, that is interesting. It smells kind of charred and burnt.
Well, that would make sense.
Kind of soily, too.
Again.
It's almost like someone buried it in ash for 100 years.
So... there you go. Century eggs, also known as preserved eggs, are duck eggs that have been cured in an alkaline solution of ash, salt, and clay for a long time. Dang. It says the eggs are coated in rice and preserved at room temperature, which transforms the egg into transparent yellow gel with a unique mechanical and optical property.
These are transformer eggs.
They're transformative eggs.
So is this one... Man, I can't think of an egg pun that would go with Optimus Prime.
Cut that in half. Lay it flat. Cut it in half. Yeah. I was like, how are you cutting this egg? Well, okay.
I've never cut anything with a plate on my lap before, so this is kind of a new experience.
Once
for me.
Again,
there's a table.
You can use the table. That's
Will is
right in front of
table
you.
Intolerant today. Okay, Will. Technically, you can try these with something on them, but okay. We're just going to do it.
I got some of the yolk on my hands. This just looks like moldy. I noticed Chris didn't take a piece.
I was letting Patrick grab one first. I wanted him to have the pick of... He's taking the smallest piece. Will took the biggest piece.
That's because Will is braver than I am.
Wow, these look so bad. Isn't that fun?
Yep.
Yeah, I could tell you what you're supposed to do with them, but we're just going to do it.
They smell like escargot.
I've never had that. Have you had it?
Well, they are transformers into a car.
So ooh, that is kind of stinky.
It has a fishy smell.
Which is odd, because it's an egg.
Yep. And not even a
we
fish
egg.
We
don't endorse you eating eggs that smell like this.
Okay, we're just going to...
We're going to go for it?
Yep, I guess so.
Go.
Will gave up.
He's not going to try it twice. You're not going to throw up, are you? Okay. The face he just made.
I don't think it's the flavor that he doesn't like. It's probably the texture.
Is it that
both?
Is it the fact it's like Jell-O?
I could actually see that being pretty good. Like in small pieces on like a salad or something.
Yeah, so sometimes they use them in meals and right. things.
But not large
pieces. It just won't go away.
Not large pieces like Will took.
Well, his bite was probably smaller because I ate one of those like big wedges.
Yeah, that one beat me.
Ugh. Strangely, I kind of like
it. I like that you were the most concerned, and he was like, eh, and then he was like, it was the total opposite.
Total opposite.
So, do you want to try it with some rice vinegar and a little sesame oil?
I'm good. Pat, you can let us know what that tastes like.
I can do that. Now, I don't want a lot.
No.
And you need, like, I would cut a little piece off of
Here,
one of those.
Yeah. Give me that.
Anyway, while he's doing that, I need to go clean up my hands, because it's...
He's like, and use Patrick's toothbrush.
You need me to take those headsets off you?
I think I can do it, Phil.
Okay.
Do you want the larger rubber side or the yolk side?
Probably the yolk side.
Okay, I'll still keep it small.
Because mine was mostly yolk.
Did you want to try? Do you want to try it that way?
Nope.
Do your second time?
I don't think it changes the flavor that much.
Not enough to make him tolerate
no.
it.
No, okay. I really don't think it changes the flavor that much. I could be wrong.
But it definitely adds something
to it. It does add something to it, sure. But that base flavor is still there.
I finally found something I can definitively tell people yeah. I do not like.
I would agree. It just adds those other flavors, but the core flavor, remains
the same. Which Will did not like, so.
I think it's because it's so thick, like, and consistency. So, like, it spreads over your tongue a bit more and takes up.
So this is what I want to read to you guys.
Okay.
This is what Google says. It says they're often described as umami, salty, savory, with something similar to blue cheese. Do you like blue cheese?
No, I don't, actually.
That's what it is. And yeah. I didn't want to read that before because I didn't want us to expect anything. And because I didn't try it plain until this time, I didn't know what it was going to be like.
And I said it was good on salads, and a lot of people like blue cheese on salads.
It's true. My mom is one of those lots of people.
So far, it's my first loss because it's the only thing I refuse to try twice.
He took an L, as the kids say.
Yeah, I don't know if you would have taken a smaller bite or something, it would have been different, but I don't think so because you don't like blue cheese.
No.
No. Yeah.
It's such a pungent taste.
It is. Yeah.
Well, now that we were guys with snacks, Will tried weird things today.
Right.
Do we have a Roomba rolling in the Roomba?
We have one email.
We do have an email.
Yeah, we got it
yesterday.
So, yeah.
Is it the return?
It is the return.
Oh. It is the return of the prodigal son, whatever that word is.
Yeah, prodigal.
There we go.
Christoph.
There's an interesting vernacular fact about the term prodigal being less about the son and more about the actions of the father.
You should talk to my grandfather about that because that's like his favorite sermon to preach about.
I believe that. It's a good one.
Yeah. And so the title of this email is Not So Mysterious After All. It says, hey guys, there is no mystery to no emails from me for 2 weeks. At the end of the Lazarus episode, I thought I heard Chris say he was scheduling phone calls for the now elusive call-in episode.
It's the new fabled episode.
So I spent my time writing questions for all of you expecting a phone call that week. My bad for reading too much into that. That is not your bad, Christoph. That is kind of on us.
It's because just our scheduling. It's just the way I do things.
You know, it's something we really want to do, but
yep,
we're just going to have to like squeeze it in and eventually here, bit by bit, kind of piecemeal, I think is what the plan is going forward on that.
Yep.
For the Deadpool and Wolverine episode, I listened to the first few minutes until Chris said that we shouldn't listen if we hadn't seen the movie yet to avoid spoilers. Haven't seen the movie yet, didn't want to get spoiled, but had nothing to write about, so I didn't listen to the episode. Or since I didn't listen to the episode. I am glad to see you guys.
He could listen to the end, to the last 17 minutes. He could skip and do the comic.
Yeah, he could.
We referenced the movie a little, but not much.
Or he can just wait until he watches the movie.
Yeah.
It's all up to you, Christoph. However you want to do
it. Just giving him an option. I don't want him to be deprived of our presence in his life.
Well, there you go.
Trying to help him out.
Yeah.
Right? I am glad to see you guys are back on Green Lanterns. And wow, what shock to hear Patrick liking Guy. A little suspicious that he might have been replaced by a Skrull.
Oh, secret invasion.
Maybe.
Guess only way to find out is by asking him something personal, something only Patrick would know. So, Patrick, is your PIN number 0002?
It is not. We're going to get there. I know exactly how long it's going to take.
And by the time we get there, it's already going to be changed, so we'll have already have passed it, and you'll...
Hey, you never know.
What does the Amish Sam's Club look like, and do they make you show your picture ID at the entrance or just a beard imprint?
Beard and bonnet imprint.
That's humorous because Amish people don't have photo IDs.
Right.
That's hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Right.
For our listener who doesn't know that, Amish do not take photos and they do not have photo IDs. They have non-photo identification cards.
So quick aside, I was at the church or the pond where we're going to hold the company picnic this year.
Yes.
With Nick. You know which Nick I'm talking about.
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. I read that email while I was sitting there waiting for him to do something, and I started laughing. So he asked me what I was laughing about, and I told him, and he goes, okay, that's hilarious.
Yes. Nick appreciates that kind of humor.
It was funny. So thank you.
You have to imagine that 18 is a pretty ripe old age for Madison to sign the Declaration of Independence. The average lifespan was below 40, and they were considered adults much earlier than 18 years of age. Heck, Patrick would be an honored elder back then. Ooh.
Well, roasted. Sure, but the only reason the average lifespan was that low was because most people died within the first 2 years of life.
Oh, I thought you were going to say most people died.
Yeah, that's typically a true statement.
To be fair, back then, everybody has died. But no, that's what brought down the average lifespan. So people still lived into their 60s, 70s.
Yeah, I think when I was reading that, they said Ben Franklin was one of the older ones, and he was like mid-60s.
Right. Yeah. So
when he signed?
But anyway, I can be an honored elder if you really want. I'm gray enough.
That's the fun thing about averages.
Right. Anyway, go on.
Keep up the great work, and here is too many more colored rings.
Oh, here's to more many colored rings.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Keep up the great work, and here is to many more colored rings. Oh, no,
I'm new to reading. That's an interesting way, with the wrong emphasis.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do love putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yours truly, the one who charges things all the time, the one who fights the IRS audits, the Logan, the prolonger of podcasts, the hunter of Superboy, the nutso to the buttso, the so much redacted, the sixth sheik, the yin to LW's yang, the extreme river crier, the podricuted, not electrocuted, the king of emails, the holder of the periwinkle ring.
Periwinkle. So,
Christoph.
Interesting fact I've learned is that in the last few years, they've been adding more and more rings and emotions. And I think that they need to rein it in.
There is such a thing as too much of a good thing.
Yeah. And I think that they've exhausted the idea of the emotional spectrum.
And what emotion are you feeling right now?
Exhaustion. Is that an emotion?
Is that a new one?
It's a clear ring. It's got nothing. Oh, thank you, Christoph. We love your emails.
Yes, we do. And if you're not obligated to email in, but you sort of are, so keep doing it.
Yeah. And for those of you who think that it'd be fun to hear somebody other than Christoph, send us an email at longboxguyswithissues.com.
Unless you don't want us to read it on air and let us know that in the email.
Yeah. All you have to say is, please don't read this on air.
And we will respond in the email.
But you have to say the word please, or else we will definitely read it.
You heard it from Will.
Yep. Will just made the rules.
I mean, he's the one that reads the emails. I would not be able to stop him.
That's true. He'd be like, no, I'm going to read it.
He's the arbiter of emails.
They didn't say please. Just kidding. Anyway, well, you know what time it is.
Oh, this is the Roomba time.
Now we can do
Sorry,
the Roomba
my bad.
Time.
I asked the Roomba to come in for an email.
Well.
I got swept up in it.
I was just coming in for docking.
No.
Sorry. Yours was better.
Anyway, we're moving on for the synopsis. When Hal Jordan was a boy, he loved nothing more than to sneak off to the airfield and watch his dad fly. Hal would spend all his time there if he could. Hal was even there one day when his father was flying an experimental jet for some prospective investors when the worst happened, and the craft malfunctioned and exploded, killing Hal's father.
Wow.
Despite the promises he then made to his mother, he continued to visit the airfields to feel closer to his father.
On his 18th birthday, he left to become a pilot for the Air Force and a pariah to his family. Years later, Hal's been kicked out of the Air Force and is working on the ground as an aircraft mechanic. His life changes drastically when a strange green ring finds him and drags him back to an alien spacecraft with a dying man. The dying man leaves Hal some rather bizarre last words before Hal is spirited away through space to the world of Oa, where he is trained to become a Green Lantern. Does Hal have the willpower to become the first Earthman to join their ranks? Find out with us on Guys with Issues.
Guys with Issues. Yep. Green Lantern, secret origin. And the secret is, this is his original origin for the most part, but they worked in a few things that came later and incorporated something new, which was the prophecy.
Secret.
Secret, secret. He had a secret. Abin Sur did.
Right.
So, I do want to say that it is possible. I considered having us read this first when starting this series. Some people suggest you read Secret Origin because you get Hal's origin pretty undiluted. There's no other plot threads for the most part. There's right. foreshadowing. There's tie-ins to what's going on right now in the story.
Sure.
But there's no other, like, asides. You don't see what's going on now. This is a true flashback. Mm. And some people say that you can and even possibly should read this as the beginning of the series, like as a prologue. I think that they chose to put it in where they did, and I think it works fine. And if you haven't, if you didn't know the origin of Green Lantern, I think it's fine to learn it later. I don't think you have to know it before. And that is why we read it in order with the releases of the comic instead of that optional buy-in.
You know, I think how we did it is how you should. Like, if you needed a prequel to read before starting this, that Emerald
Twilight.
I keep almost saying Emerald Dawn, but I'm like, oh, that's not right.
Emerald Dawn is a different series, actually.
Oh, is it?
It shows when Sinestro takes Hal Jordan to the planet of Korrigar, and Hal convicts him of being a tyrant, and Sinestro is kicked out of the Green Lantern.
Maybe
that's what Emerald Dawn is. And I wanted us to read that, but it's not on anything and it's out of print. So wasn't a good way to have us check it out.
Like, maybe we talked about that. Maybe they talked about that in that little clip thing that we watched. But yeah, reading Emerald Twilight and then reading this and then going to the Secret Origin, I feel is a much better structure, because then you get to see Hal kind of going crazy, and then you get context for when they find the Lost Lanterns. Like, if you started with, like, the origins and then went straight into this, from what I was reading, like, from my perspective, you might get a little bit more confused, so.
Would you agree, for the most part?
I mean, I don't know. I've been confused a lot.
Like, in general?
Well, no, with the story, but that's part of stories.
learning more
right,
about it.
Learning yeah. more about it. I don't know if that would make me more confused or not, but.
Well, I mean, you both didn't have context with Emerald Dawn. You, like, now you'd probably give Emerald Dawn, like, a 5 because you get
Twilight.
To watch how I did it.
Yeah.
But because you'd get to watch Hal as Parallax, and now you have all this context. But when you read it originally, because you had no bearing on that
right.
world, I think you both gave it a 3. And so, I mean, I think that, you know, it's the knowledge that you gain along the way can change your opinions of something.
Yeah.
It's true.
Because if you didn't read that, and then you were like, so like if...
Because secret... I read that later. Yeah. Like, I had read that after I'd read John's run stuff.
So, yeah, if you started with the Secret Origins, you would see, like, Sinestro, like, he's in the core and he's teaching Hal and all this other stuff. And then if you went back to the beginning of this one...
With Rebirth.
Mm. And you went through, then you find out that Sinestro is a bad guy, and it's like, well, what, how? But if you start with Emerald Twilight, you find out through that, you know, he's locked up because he, you know, went crazy and was convicted, and like he's a,
sure.
you know, he was a lantern and then, you know, kind of turned and got kicked out. So,
yeah. So,
we accidentally did it the best way.
There you go.
I'd like to say it was intentional.
Chris planned it that way, yeah.
So, for structure, here we go.
What's up?
Putting up the beams, building the framework. Did you have a favorite scene?
I did. I'm just not sure which one to pick.
There were a couple of cool ones.
There were. Yeah. But I'm just going to go with, why not? The first time that Hal made it to Oa and that splash page with just all the lanterns flying around everywhere. And yeah, that was, I'm just going to go with that one because that's the first one I wrote down.
Did you see that some of those lanterns were ones from like the Secret Files book that they had descriptions of and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fun.
It was. So I'm going to say that.
It wasn't what I thought you were going to pick, Pat.
Sorry.
Ooh, what did you think you... Well, let's keep going.
I'm going to pick it instead.
Okay.
Do it.
It's the fight scene when Sinestro and Hal are going up against Atrocious or whatever.
Atrocitus.
Atrocitus, whatever. My phone kept auto-correcting to Atrocious, and so that's just what I'm going to call him.
Wow.
And Sinestro creates a construct of Kilowog to punch...
Yep. That was on my list.
Was it?
Yep.
I saw that like, oh, that's so cool. That's definitely going to be on Pat's list.
He's right. It was.
And it was on mine too, because it was really cool.
It was really cool.
I also had the OS splash page on my list.
Nice.
Because it is a very cool.
It is a really cool scene.
I'm going to pick the scene where Hal sits in the broken plane of his dad's.
Okay.
Because it's just, it's such a simple scene because it's the, you know, he remembers that his dad took him up in that plane. That's where his memory of flying with his dad is. And there, it just feels emotional.
Super.
It does. Yeah. Like, it feels so sad.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, what a simple, like the setup for the emotion behind it is so well done. And then he sits there and you're just like, oh,
yeah,
this guy needs to fly again. It was good. I really liked that. Do you have another scene besides the Kilowog punch?
I enjoyed the entire training session with Kilowog.
Oh, when he's like, oh, look, the one I've been waiting for somebody to make an example.
That's right. Yeah, that's the whole thing was great.
It was, dude. I also like how he clocks it. Like he gets a good hit.
Oh, yeah, he does get a good like, one.
All right.
Let's do this. That was great.
He's like, there's always one, rookie. Yep. Like, he was waiting. What about you,
that
Will?
That was fun. I like when Hal finally gets back into the pilot's chair and gets to fly for Carol Ferris.
Yep.
That plane.
That's
and he's
awesome,
flying. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I'm just warming up, you know, not really doing anything crazy. I'm keeping it, you know, real. And Sinestro just pops up and blows the plane away and grabs him. I mean, we saw that before in like some other flashbacks, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think there was one other time that they showed that.
But I think that was a splash page or like there was some splash page didn't know associated with that.
The
context
of it. Yeah. We just knew what happened.
And then like there's the part right after where Sinestro puts the plane back together. And Hal flies back into it and takes off that whole sequence there. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. The fact that Sinestro repairs the plane. Like he shows that with the right focus and willpower, you can like, if you understand how to use it, you can do like crazy stuff.
Right. Yeah, because Hal's frantically like, oh, you have no idea what you've done. I desperately wanted this. And he's trying to put it back together and he can't quite figure it out.
So that scene also made me laugh because Sinestro mirrored Patrick, you know, because he goes, mm-hmm. why don't you have your ring on?
Darn right.
And I immediately thought of Patrick.
That is true. He did say that, didn't he?
Best question ever.
And he also asks him why he doesn't have his battery because he pulls it out of a pocket dimension.
Yes, he does.
He's like, you don't even know how to keep your battery in a pocket dimension. He's like, where is it? He's like, in a locker.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed pretty much the entire... It's not a scene or a page. It was just the getting to see Sinestro start mentoring Hal.
That's on my list.
Yeah, it was cool.
It really is.
And you see that he really, like, before Hal was considered, before the time comes where Hal is considered the greatest Green Lantern, like, Sinestro was the greatest Green Lantern.
Right.
So it's just cool. It was cool to watch that. Mm-hmm. Do you have another one?
Yeah, I have one more.
Okay.
It was at the very end
when
Hal told his brother he was a Green Lantern and the way he did it.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, where he's like, it's time that I let you be a part of my life kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, that was good. I didn't even think about that. That was really good. Mm-hmm. What about you, Will?
What about you, Will?
Did I have one? Oh, I did. It's kind of along the same lines as, like, not a specific scene, but they did sort of expand, like, Abin Sur, whatever. Kind of, like, made him feel a lot more important.
Mm-hmm.
Because, A, you know, he had the whole prophecy thing, but he mentored Sinestro, he mentored Tamar Rey, like, a whole lot of other people he seemed to, like, you know, help out and mentor, so he definitely feels like not just a random guy that just died and gave Hal a ring, you know?
It's also interesting that they give a premise as to why he had a spaceship if you can fly as a Green Lantern.
Right, that was...
Right.
Because of the whole prophecy, like, oh, your ring's going to betray you whenever you need it the most. So he's like, oh, I'm not going to use the ring, except he was using it to hold down the atrocious guy.
Which, by the way, I find him, this really fleshes out an interesting view of his character, like, as an intro, this atrocitous character.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
I was going to ask which character you're talking about.
Atrocitous.
Right, because he was talking about two in his...
Yeah, Abin Sur was...
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, interestingly enough, the Green Lantern movie that we can all say is not great actually has a lot of this stuff in it. Like,
now I kind of want to go back and rewatch it.
It has Abin Sur being afraid of his ring, and he flies to Earth, and Hal finds the ring and goes to Owen, gets trained by Kilowog and Sinestro, and Hector Hammond gets affected by the ship and becomes a telepath, and like the movie is Secret Origins.
Wow.
Yeah, it's but they don't do Atrocitus, they do Parallax, and they do a really dumb version of Parallax. But it's like, that's why part of me doesn't hate it as much as it gets panned for. And Geoff Johns actually did work on it, and a lot of people give him crap because he was like, oh, it's great. We don't hold that against him. He created this. Whatever, man. But, yeah, it makes me kind of want to... The extended version is a little better because of how they add in, like, the dad's crash in the beginning and things like that. but, yeah, we should all try to watch that sometime.
I've never seen it.
You've never watched it?
I've never watched it.
I mean, it is literal. It's Secret Origins as a movie.
Yeah.
So
I'll have to find it and check it out.
You know, now that you say that, I'm thinking back on what I remember.
It's very much Secret Origins. Yeah, those were all the things I had as well. Do either of you have any more that you wanted to mention as far as favorite scenes?
Nope.
Okay. What about favorite character, Patrick? And why?
I think I'm going to say Sinestro.
Why is that?
I just like how he just seems to be the perfect mentor for Hal and the way he treats him. And, you know, like he respects him, but he's also like, you're an idiot. Stop doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just their interactions, like I said, that was on my list.
And they're both
just
kind of rebellious against the authority.
Right, exactly. But one's like, yeah, you got to tone it down a bit. Like when they were talking to the Smurfs.
Yeah.
and there was just an interaction where Sinestro's like, you know, you gotta tone it down. And he said something, and then Sinestro's like, yeah, okay, you're right. Or something like that.
Oh, that last issue. There was, like, whenever Hal swears, it like bleeps it out, but then the rings are like unable to translate. Yeah. I did that like that.
Good. It was like the most clever way of having
censorship,
censored comic book swear words.
It was. It was good.
What about you?
But hang on. Does that mean the rings learn to swear as soon as Guy puts one on? Because he swears all the time.
His ring is what you're reading.
Yeah.
His ring is the one.
So it's like the rings download the information from the brains that they get, you know, like they're attached to or whatever. And so it was basically like when they put the Urban Dictionary into Watson at IBM, yeah, is when the ring gets put on Guy.
Well, yeah, you have to think. Hal's ring, this is the first time it's ever learned from a human that yeah, in that yeah. case. So there you go. by the time it gets down to Guy.
Right, yeah. It's got everything down.
What anyway, about it, sir?
Favorite character? He took Sinestro, so I think I'm gonna throw mine to Carol Ferris.
Yep, really? She was also on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah, she made it to the list because you can kind of tell from the beginning, like, you know, she's just trying hard to keep the company afloat. And then you meet the part, or you see the part where Hal meets her dad, Carl, and she says the line, you know, my dad used to watch you and your dad eat those brown bag lunches your mom would make and think, wow, I really wish I had a son. Mm. And it's very much reflected in like her name, because, you know, it's, if your name's Carl and you have a daughter and her name's Carol, it's pretty obvious that you really wanted to have a son and name him Carl Jr.
Right.
And have him start a hamburger chain.
I knew that was coming. As soon as he said it, I was like, there's a burger joke. But yeah.
I thought she had a cool little arc in there where you kind of got to know her real well in a relatively short, you know, 6 or 7 issue span.
Yeah. Since we've thrown, I'll switch it up too. Instead of picking, I don't know, like Sinestro, I'll go with Hal.
Yeah,
because Hal was, you just get, you see Hal at his core. Right. In this,
mm-hmm.
The Green Lantern Corps. No, I'm just kidding. But like, what makes him as good as he is? And it's like, and also you see his flaws,
mm-hmm.
and you really see the regret that he has about his mom, and just like his whole family dynamic. Also, he affects Yellow, even though nobody believes
him.
Yeah,
he did that once.
He was able to stop the construction equipment, right?
Yep. Yeah,
it was and an excavator. It was a crane or an excavator.
It was an excavator, yeah.
And you get this moment where, stop it, Will.
He was doing it too.
Oh, you both.
I'm going to snitch on Pat.
Yeah, I don't have that issue because I'm on Wi-Fi that you refuse to connect to.
Then it won't make the sound.
I know. But
anyway. Anyway, I just like that whole little, like how that's a bit after he does it. He keeps being like, I affected Yellow. And everybody's like, no, you didn't. And then he's in the training range and he keeps trying. And they're like, see, you can't do it. If you tried 1,000 more times, you still aren't going to do it. But as we've learned, the reason they can affect it now is they learned that it has to do with the fact you've overcome fear. It has to do with like what's in you and recognizing it. It's not about being without fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so because he had overcome fear the way that he did, you know, it's kind of alluded to that. That's the first hint of it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool.
Yep.
But so did you have a least favorite scene?
Yeah. When, I don't know names, but Hal's brother blamed him for
his older brother.
Yes, his older brother blamed him for his mother's death.
Yeah, I can't remember his older brother's name.
Jack?
Yes. That sounds right. Is that right?
Because you got Jack, Hal, and Jim?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Anyway. Yeah, that's it. Because it's like, I mean, I understand that he didn't do something that his mother wanted, but come on.
Yeah.
It really wasn't his fault.
No, but his brother blames everything he had chosen throughout his life basically on Hal's choices.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Will?
Least favorite scene. I didn't really have one, but I just threw it to when Atrocious was eating those campers out in the woods. It was just like, I don't know, it was just kind of weird. I didn't have like a huge...
I didn't really have one either. I could probably throw it to something like when Hal punches his commanding officer. We know he's done it. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
We've seen the flashback. But it's just so disappointing, like, to see how it leads up and the reason he does it. And it's just such a downer. But that's not a least favorite. That's actually incredibly well done scene is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a least favorite. I thought they were all... It was such a... That story is so tightly told. It's so good. Did you have a least favorite character?
It's a toss-up.
Really?
Yes. So you two do your least favorites, and then I will do mine.
My number one, Hector Hammond.
Ah. He's could easily be one.
Such a clingy, like, needy...
Yes.
That's my girlfriend.
Yeah.
We went to dinner one time. You work for me.
Yeah. It's like, I don't date employees. We went to dinner for, like, a work thing. And, like, yeah, he was just, like, calling her all the time, and... Then he was able to like read people's minds, and there he was afraid of the truth because they're like, you know, everything they said was truthful.
You can't handle the truth. Sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah, he can't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you don't really want telepathy. Like people that want to be able to read minds, I don't think you do. Most people's minds, there's a reason they don't say thoughts out loud.
Yeah.
So
that's the truth.
I mean, you do that. You have a thought, you don't verbalize it.
Isn't that what the internal monologue's for?
That 10% of the population doesn't have?
That's still weird to me.
That is crazy. How do you live your life?
I'm sure just in like silence. Everybody else.
In silence. Nobody else, with a ringing of tinnitus.
They have no idea it's any different.
I hate that so much.
Where mine is more like Deadpool's, where it's like a word vomit that never ends.
Squirrel.
If I have the right music playing, it themes itself to the music. Does That's yours do fun. That? Is yours always the same, or does yours change according to a vibe?
100% know exactly what you're talking about, because I listened to like Irish sea shanties for a little too long, and so my inner monologue started speaking with an Irish accent, and I'm like, wait, why am I doing that? We need to like listen to something else for a while.
No, mine's always the same.
So, like the other day, I was doing some research on something at work.
Yeah.
I was digging through some old files of Larry's, and so I put on, like, noir detective jazz.
Yeah.
And I immediately started a hard-boiled, like, inner monologue, just going, like, as I was searching through the files, like, it would not stop the whole time.
All right.
Yeah. So, mine's themed according to what I'm involved with.
I mean, I can easily stop my inner monologue. It doesn't go all the time.
I don't think mine goes nonstop, but I always have thoughts. Because my brain is always trying to be creative anyway.
Yeah, I can stop that too.
See, if my thoughts stop, so there's an interesting thing I recently learned about the science of the brain science of ADHD, and that's that everybody's neutral mode. The brain has a neutral rest mode. When you're not engaged with something, it goes into like a neutral position.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, it's like your thoughts are silent. You don't really have any during neutral, like brain time.
Sure.
With ADHD, that's actually your brain kicks in the highest level of negative and intrusive thoughts if you go into neutral. And so like if I'm sitting down to do like watch TV or play a video game or something, all I hear in my head is about like how lazy and worthless I am and how like nonstop. It doesn't because there is no neutral in ADHD brains.
That's fun.
Yeah. Instead, you just get a super negative, degrading voice.
I know what that's like, too.
Yeah, everybody, most people probably know what that's like to an extent.
Right. Not 10% of the population.
There's that.
Yeah, maybe that would be nice.
Well, just because they don't hear a voice doesn't mean they're not still
crazy
thinking and experiencing those thoughts.
You think they have like pictures inside their head instead of words?
There's something else going on, I'm sure.
That reminds me of...
This is a tangent.
It's okay. I'm leaving it in. This is good quality
content. Go on.
Something, one last thing. My wife thinks it's super bonkers crazy that when I read, I don't picture what I read. I read the words.
There is, for me, a very small amount of times where I'm actually watching it like a movie.
Okay.
For the most part, I read the words.
Yes. So I do that.
It depends on what book I'm reading. I just put that in my pocket. I didn't mean to do that twice. Once is enough for per podcast. Like if it's a nonfiction book, like, you know, biography or
sure.
historical, whatever.
Yeah.
Then like nothing. But if it's like a fantasy or whatever, and there's an actual story and the characters do something, 100% of the time.
Yeah. So that's why my wife doesn't like to be interrupted when she reads, is because she has like a full blown cinema movie going on in her head. But mm-hmm. it takes her a couple of pages sometimes to get it going. And if she's interrupted, it has to like start over, and it really takes her out of the story. Whereas like for me, if I read the words and it's, for instance, the scene in Black Flame, where in which is book 3 of Cradle, correct?
Written by Will White. We had to squeeze him in there.
So the scene where Yeren and Lyndon are together in the cave, and Ethan falls like anime style, and I just imagine him getting up and being like, "Oh, hey guys!" Like,
right.
So
spitting all the mud and dirt out of his
like
mouth.
Like one of those where they're all drawn normally, but then he's like that really simplified.
Sure,
like,
sure.
So that played in my head, but it's not like as I read it. It's like I read it, and my brain goes,
"That's how that
is funny." And goes, how, like, let's look at that. And then shows me what it is. Not, like, as I read it.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I even reread the part then to mm-hmm. absorb it more. But, like, yeah, it's just, I just wonder.
There's been a very few times that I've had the experience that your wife does.
And Will.
And yeah. It's almost always just like listening to an audiobook.
See, audiobooks, I picture more akin to movies.
I don't. They're the same for me.
See, that's different for me. If I'm listening to oratory speech, I think sometimes I almost visualize, it depends. It totally depends with audiobooks for me.
On the narrator?
I still do it.
I don't know.
It with audiobooks. In fact, I find it easier because I can kind of relate to how your wife is. Like, if I'm reading it, just like on a page, it does take a little bit to kind of like get some things sorted out and going. But like if I'm listening to it, it's a whole lot easier just to like let the scenes play.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Which is why I prefer audiobooks over regular books, because I can do something while I'm absorbing.
There's
the
also that.
Interesting. So,
good times.
My least favorite character. All because. So. I do want to just point out that this entire conversation piece happened because of Hector Hammond's telepathy.
Yes.
It was comic tied.
Yes.
So, anyway.
And that, people.
It was also cradle tied.
Is why you don't want telepathy.
And that, so if we did cut it out, you just have the book sound and going, that's why you don't want telepathy.
Right.
I would edit that for fun, for content in the old days. But I'm going to leave that. That was an interesting discussion. Anyway, so my least favorite, I'll pick old Billy Hand, good old William.
Oh, our, yeah.
Because,
he's super creepy.
Because he's so freaking weird. Yeah. Even as a kid, he's like, I just want to touch dead bodies. Weirdo. And then he's like killing people with Green Lantern device power that he got from Atrocitus. So we're just going to give it to William Hand, because you mentioned Hector Hammond, and he's also a big negative Nancy impact of the book. So I'm going to give it to William Hand. Who are the two you're trying to decide between?
It's William Hand and Hal's older brother.
I wondered if his brother was the other one.
He for two completely different reasons.
Yeah.
But yes, there's
one's gross and creepy. The other's a jerk.
They're practically equal in my mind.
For how much you disliked their character.
Correct.
Mm. I can see the brother, because he's kind of a bully, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man. And Atrocitus was just like, I have to get to your insides.
Well, honestly, like his little thing where he said to him, it's like, oh, you have like death within you, is almost sounds like a ring. Like when the rings find you, it's like, oh, you have the power of great, to overcome great fear or whatever.
Oh, you have the power of death in sky.
And so like when he was like, you have like, you know, death and whatever within you. I'm like,
right.
Why does it sound like he's the ring? Hmm. Like when like a black ring finds you.
That's interesting. That's find interesting.
Out. Find at out at some in point like, in the future.
In like 6 weeks. Yeah.
Cool.
Actually, I think he shows back up in less than that. Interesting. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Faux show.
Okay. What do we rate this out of? What would it be? Crucified prisoners of Yismalt?
Telepaths.
Telepaths. Oh, Will's trying to think of one. He's trying to think of one.
Let's think. Chucked excavators.
Chucked.
Kilowog punches.
I mean.
Patrick's like, you can't.
Kilowog constructs.
How about.
I don't know.
How about pwned newbies?
Oh, there you go.
How about crashed planes? Oh.
I thought about trying to do like.
Crashed ships.
Like available pilots.
Available pilots.
Because she couldn't find
right,
any.
Right, she couldn't find any.
You know, there was one thing I didn't understand in this is that the rookies were called white circles.
Because they don't have the symbol. Their uniforms have the white circle where the Green Lantern emblem goes, but they don't have the emblem on it. It's empty.
We can call it white circles.
You want to call it white circles?
White circles.
How many white circles?
It's basically like recruits.
Right. How many recruits?
Okay. We can do that. How many white circles? I'm down. Patrick.
I'm going to give it a 5. That was really good.
Will?
You know.
Yeah, okay.
5.
Because I was even like, could I rate it lower than that? It is such a good origin story. It's done so well.
Yeah, I really like how...
And you could read it as a standalone.
I really like how Chris is like, yeah, it's just not as good after Sinestro Corps. And then
it's all 5s now.
We're reading this one, and I'm like, this is still pretty good.
No. It drops, in my opinion. Where it really drops is after Blackest Night.
Okay.
That's where the true... What I mean is like Sinestro Corps War as the big crossover event. I know some people probably like Blackest Night more, but I would say that Sinestro Corps War is just a better event in how it's done. It's a little tighter. It's a little smaller in some ways.
Cool.
But to me, it's kind of the pinnacle of the whole series. But no, the individual stories are still like, especially to be honest, right now where you're learning about other stuff, where like the other rings are going to be coming in and set, like this stuff is super interesting.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it.
Next week, we'll be reading Rage of the Red Lanterns. That is the next part. It is still in Green Lantern. We are not switching to core. It isn't a back and forth. This is actually, we're going straight in, I believe, that this goes straight into Rage of the Red Lanterns. I will verify that real quick.
Oh, it does.
Correct?
I saw it, yeah.
And that's why I couldn't remember last week if that was part of what we were reading, if the Secret Origin and Rage were kind of together. Obviously, Atrocitus is in both, if you've seen the covers of Rage. So, yeah, we are going to continue. It will be issues, and this will be, we will now see the creation of the Alpha Lanterns now, where Bodica becomes the Alpha Lantern. We'll see where Lyera is like... tried like that whole conversation from last week we were like, what's that about? that should be captured in next week's reading.
Cool.
So it looks like we will be reading, we read Green Lantern
29 to 35.
Well, this is,
and so it should be like 36 to,
yeah, 36 through, oh, it's funky. So
dang it,
it will be 36, 37, 38 and a Final Crisis Rage of the Red Lanterns is included in that. I may have to move where that's at. And then also for the Alpha Lantern stuff, it's actually Green Lantern 26, 27, and 28. So I don't know how that falls. We may read all of those. More to come on that. Check the description to see exactly what we're reading. If you are following along in our DC list, I know that there's a few people who have this list and are following. Just go ahead and read from, it ends at 35, and then it goes back to 26 through 28, and then 36 through the Final Crisis. So it's a little funky, and that's because of the Alpha Lantern. I went by the list, like the read list that I was following.
Cool.
But anyway, it's kind of weird. Or maybe I made a mistake. I don't know. Maybe. Seems odd.
Maybe.
And not that I can't. That's not what... But anyway, sorry. Yeah, that's going to be for next week. Check the description because it'll at least be Rage of the Red Lanterns.
Cool.
You guys have anything else? Anything else you want to add? No?
I'm Patrick.
And this is Will.
And I'm Chris. And we are Guys with Issues.
You know, I had something else I wanted to add, and I just lost it. And I don't know what it was.
No. So,
it's lost to the ether.
You can catch Guys with Issues wherever you can find your favorite podcasts.
Or check out our website at guyswithissues.com, where you can listen, find reading lists to follow along, and get to know us better.
Send us emails to longbox@guyswithissues.com and tell us your thoughts. Send us suggestions on what we should read next. We would love to hear from our listener.
You're the Goldilocks of the group.
So listen, the what?
The Goldilocks. I'm a bit too much. He's a bit too much. Right. You're just
so,
right.
Just so right. Look.